2023 Prophetic School is here. It's a place where you hear God's voice clearly. So, get set for an encounter. Ministry, Pastor Benga Shafe, be blessed as you listen.
I want to read from 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10, I'm reading verse 5 and verse 6. 5, 6, and 7. All right, 1 Samuel 10 from verses 5 to 7. This is Samuel here speaking to Saul. He said, After that, you shall come into the hill of God. Where is the garrison of the Philistines? And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery, a tabret, and a pipe, and a harp before them. And they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you shall prophesy with them. And then you shall be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are come upon thee, that thou shalt do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. All right. So I just want to share a bit about this scripture. And I just want to draw out a few lessons here. Saul had been with Samuel for a while. And then Samuel was about to give him a divine element that will aid his assignment in the few days that was to come. And that was a prophetic anointing. You see, any level that God is upgrading you for, he will give you the anointing for that level. He will give you the utterance for that level. He will impact you for that level. God will not, send you on an assignment without equipping you for that assignment. So if you are wondering that, am I a prophet or am I not? Possibly you are not, or you are not one yet. There are signs that follow a prophet. Now, I want to bring your attention to something here. Samuel talked about Saul climbing up to the hill of God. You see, as we proceed from this mountain tonight, you must have that significant location, that thing that captures the image of a hill, a mountaintop experience. You see, he told him that he was going to come to the hill of God. If Saul didn't show up at the hill of God, he would not have met those prophets. You see, you need to show up for destiny to matter. Don't receive a prophetic word and then go to bed. And then you begin to assume that this prophecy will fulfill itself. All right? There will be certain requirements. There will be certain consecrations that the Lord will require from you. In the life of this man of God here, this king, he said he was required to climb the hill of God. One other significant factor about the hill of God is that it is located in the garrison of the Philistines. And if you know the story of Israel and the Philistines, they are always at loggerheads, they are always fighting. Which means that there is a battle you will have to fight. There's going to be some form of spiritual warfare to take over that territory of consecration, to take over that mountain, to take over that place, that watchtower where revelation is clear. There's going to be some kind of battle in your mind, in your heart. It may be the battle of the night seasons, where you will have to, you know, travel in the place of prayer to secure the night seasons. This garrison belongs to the Philistines, yet the hill of God was there. Hallelujah. So I want you to understand this. No prophet has ever risen out of comfort. No true prophet has ever risen. I've not seen anyone. Is it Abraham? Is it David? Is it Samuel that had to leave his parents at a young age? Is he Elijah? Is he Elisha that had to leave his business? I really don't know of any prophet per se, whether in the scriptures or literally, who had everything about his own life figured out. There are prophets that are heavily anointed, but they didn't do well in school. They had a third class. There are some that I know who struggled to go to the university, but they could not graduate. Are you here now? So this is what I refer to as the garrison of the Philistine. You must possess that mountain. As we go from this mountain today, you have to make that determination that no word that has been spoken over your life will go to waste. You have to settle it in your spirit that lion that is in your spirit, that warrior spirit is going to emerge. Because it's not going to emerge without warfare. Even for David, despite the fact that Samuel laid hands on him, he had a very dramatic ordination. But Samuel didn't tell him about his battle with Goliath in the future. There are certain things about your calling and your destiny that will not be, you will not get any premonition, you will not get any revelation. You will just find yourself thrown into that field. But you've got to be ready. God has given us all these scriptures, all these stories in order to prepare us. You are likely going to battle with your self-worth. You are likely going to battle with your self-confidence. You know, sometimes when I speak to people, I sound like a broken record. And I'm asking myself, why do I have to do this? Why do I have to spend my time talking to this person? I could have just stayed back in the corporate world, do my thing. If you like, do whatever you want to do. You know. So, but this is the requirement for the assignment. Sometimes people will step on your toes or your feet, and they would even ask you to lie down on the floor, and they will step on your head and walk over you. People will walk away from you. People will use you and dump you. They will use you and dump you, and they expect you to understand. After all, it was God that used you. It was not your power. You've got to make that determination that whatever represents the garrison of the Philistines, you have to bypass it. Because around that territory is the mountain of the Lord, wherein streams of anointings will be flowing to you. So, the love of God in your heart is the greatest stabilizer for the prophetic anointing. In fact, I wish you could pray for yourself and say, Lord, when I'm offended, don't let me prophesy. This is serious stuff here. Look, we are all works in progress, but it is this character that will take us to the other side. You've got to be a mountain dweller. You've got to learn how to be alone and how to be lonely. Because most of the strong prophetic voices in the scriptures, is it Moses, is it Elijah, name them. Many of them were always living in seclusion. And you must remember, you can't be offended and anointed at the same time. It will be very destructive. So the decision to be offended is yours. Hallelujah. I don't know if you are getting anything now. All right. These are admonitions I'm leaving with you, because sometimes some people think that you can grow the anointing outside the love of God. You will not last. We don't want prophets to rise from this meeting that we become terrorists. I remember a particular brother. And this is a life story. All right. This is a story I'm aware of. I met him. I've been to his meetings. I met the lady he wanted to get married to. This guy is a prophet. When I talk to him, he reminds me of prophets like the ones in the Old Testament. He's in Lagos here. All right. Very anointed. But you see, he wasn't so balanced. I remember a particular time, you know, he had an issue with his girl, the lady he wanted to get married to. And they temporarily called off the relationship. Apparently, I didn't know, you know, because he introduced the lady to me at one of his programs. Very beautiful and very pretty, light-skinned lady. I mean, for me, I just felt like, if God is giving you this kind of a woman, he really wants to compensate you. That lady was just too beautiful. But they fell apart. A few months later, the lady became sick and she was diagnosed with cancer. So they sent for this pastor, this prophet, to come help pray for her. And the prophet said, it is because you walked away from me that cancer came upon you. You know, when he said that, something died inside. He said, it was because you walked away from me. This is your punishment. Are you not aware that God sent me into your life to be your helper, to help your family? So the girl's dad, the girl's mom, the girl herself knelt down. They were begging him, have mercy, have mercy. He has not married the girl. All right? He has not married that girl. You understand? So sometimes it seems like I'm a bit nasty or on the edge with some of these prophetic people, it's because of the little things I've seen. I've not seen so many things, but I've seen a few things. This brother is my friend. All right? I met him in Lagos. He said to the girl, it's because you walked away from me that cancer is coming up. Meanwhile, I think somebody had already, one of the siblings had died, you know, a year or two before. And now this girl was sick. So I was now having a phone conversation with him. And I said, oh, How far without your babe? You know, he now said, oh, that she's paying for her disobedience. And I said, what do you mean? Then he told me that, oh, she walked, she left him, started acting crazy, and then he left her, and the grace of God over his life, you know, was taken back, and she developed cancer. And I said, man of God, this is not God. I said, man of God, this is not the Holy Spirit. Now, can I shock you? There's a sense in which what he's saying is true. But my concern is, why are you happy? Why are you happy that somebody broke your heart or did something, and the only thing God could do was not to restore you, it was to bring judgment? Even if the Lord was to execute judgment, could you not have been like Moses, who began to intercede? I don't know if somebody is here right now. I don't know if you are hearing this pathetic story. You see, so when this anointing is coming upon you, you need to be very careful. Because the anointing can bless people around you, it can also harm them. I have personal stories to this effect, all right? There's a particular lady with her family, they really hurt me so badly. They really, really hurt me so badly. And I'm not even going to go into the details of what they did, but they really, really hurt me. So I chose not to say anything. I chose not to say anything. I just kept quiet and I just sucked it up. And anytime people ask me about them, I just say they are doing fine. I'm trying to explain something about this, because many of us, the reason why God cannot anoint us, even though we are praying 5 hours, is because of this, our tongue. Our expansion joint for patience is so small. In less than 2 minutes, you could be saying, I'm going to curse you. I'm going to curse you. I'm going to curse you. I didn't say anything to them. I think close to a year later, they came back to see me. And I received them. And the husband went on his knees and was apologizing. And I said, please, please. First of all, I don't like people going on their knees in front of me, so get up. Oh, wanted to say we are sorry. What we did was wrong. I said, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. If somebody comes to you, I knew what was happening to them, but I kept quiet. All right? But I didn't utter a word against them. My friend in this case spoke to that lady and said that you are suffering because you left me. That is manipulation. That is witchcraft. Even God cannot force you to follow him. Because God gave you something that is called free will. If I want to prophesy to somebody and I say, can I prophesy to you? If he says no, I'm walking away. I don't have to, you don't have to force somebody to receive your revelation. If you're always talking to somebody, oh, I had a dream about you, and the person is always looking disinterested, stop talking to them. If you have a dream, send it as a message to them and don't talk about it. You don't have to take burdens that are not yours. Don't just type it, you know, leave it, because you know that they despise you. So you don't have to waste your time. In my own case, I forgave this couple and I released them to go. All right. Now, the thing is, before they came, I had already moved on, I'd forgiven them. You know, but they having to come back now, you know. So I needed to like verbalize it. I've forgiven you. You can go. The next day, the wife came back. She came back alone. And then she came with a bag filled with gifts. And I asked her, why are you here? She said, there are still some things we need to address. And I said, no, we are good, we are friends. She said, no. She now went on her knees again. She now said, when you were praying for us yesterday, you started prophesying about what we were going through. Apparently, since the day they got married, till that day, she had never conceived for once in her life. Like for one day, she had never conceived. So when they went somewhere else and probably the person they went to for counseling said, you offended a servant of God. Go and apologize to him. Then they remembered me, so they came back. And I said, I don't have anything against you. I'm also a man who has found mercy from God. I found mercy. Some of you here don't commit sin the way I do. All right? So if somebody were to come to me and say, Pastor, I sinned, I didn't see. My first response is not to judge you, because I know where Jesus picked me from. So the lady came back the second day and she said that they have not been able to have a child. And that was one of the reasons why they came to me yesterday. And that when I was praying for them, I began to prophesy about that issue without knowing. And I said, okay. So I laid hands on her and I said, you are released to have children. That's what I said to her. And I told her to go home. In 1 month time, I got a message on my WhatsApp. Pastor, I'm so grateful to God. The doctor just confirmed I'm pregnant. You see, why you must grow your anointing? So when they have that baby, I'm going to be there. All right? We've become very good friends after then. So I'm trying to explain that it's not everybody you can step on their head and walk away scot-free. That's what I'm trying to tell. But as a man of God, as a woman of God, if you are listening to me now, you must not be vindictive. Because the anointing in your hands can give life. It can take. And you must pass the test of self-control. When my friend told me that this girl was afflicted with cancer because she left him, I told him immediately, I said, man of God, this is not the Holy Spirit. He became angry at me that I was not supporting him. I said, and asked me a question, what would God benefit from placing cancer on this girl? And the parents came to you, knelt down, they were begging you, and you sat there, and you were taking the apology. How can you be so wicked? These are supposed to be your future in-laws, and they are begging you. Are you a wizard or are you a prophet? In fact, after that day, I just cut off from him. Because a few days after that, the girl died. The girl died. So that girl fell into the trap of prophetic wizards. People who allow their emotions get the better of them. Please, I want to encourage you as you go from this meeting tonight. I want you to make a commitment for self-control. When you are upset, please watch what you are saying. Look at what... So I just told you that story to buttress a few points. Samuel told Saul, he said, when you get to the mountain of God, he said, you will meet a company of prophets that were coming down from the high place, and they shall prophesy. And the moment they begin to prophesy, the Spirit of the Lord will also come upon you, and you will also begin to prophesy. This here captures the topic or the title I addressed about why you need a prophetic company. Because there are certain anointings that are easily triggered when you are in your company. Saul could never prophesy. But Samuel told him that when you come into a company of prophets, that same anointing they are carrying will come upon you. And that's what happened to him. That means God had a very strong prophetic plan for that man. A plan that he truncated because he had no heart for God. That was the major difference between Saul and David. Saul had no heart for God. David had a heart after God. I want to encourage you. As you go tonight, I want you to take your time to process. Go back to all the messages. Listen to them again. Give the messages to your friends, especially those ones that are very spiritual and they are gifted. That God will not anoint you above the level of your character. He will not empower you beyond what you can handle, no matter how long you or how many hours you pray. Now, Samuel told him, he said, when you begin to prophesy, he said, you will be turned into another man. And that is significant. You will be turned into another man. And this is significant. Those who have known you in a particular way may become afraid of you because they will be meeting with another version of you that they never knew was there. This another man that Samuel was referring to is the guy that I have been trying to talk to in the last 10 days. That guy that has been pushed in the corner, that lady that has had to deal with so many issues, that part of you that is anointed. Say you shall be turned into another man. In other words, you are going to develop supernatural ability. You are going to develop certain anointings, certain graces that would help you navigate through the spirit realm unhurt. It doesn't make any sense for you to be close to a prophet and not desire the grace that is upon his life. A lot of people, they have a very poor relationship with the man and the woman of God that God has placed in their lives. All right. Listen to me. Anybody that God is always speaking to concerning you, value that person. There was a man that came to my house. Somebody referred him to me. He owns a very big real estate company in Lagos. At least for somebody to misplace about 40 million it doesn't occur to him on time. So you have an idea how much that man could be worth. So they brought him to my house because he was having problems. And when he came to my house, I have a very simple apartment. So I'm sure in his mind he was wondering, is this young guy, is it the pastor we have come to meet? Because the moment he came to my house, I started discussing politics with him. And we spoke for like an hour. Maybe the man thought I was just trying to talk about politics. I was actually talking to him. I was marking time, waiting for when the Holy Spirit will say something to me about him. After an hour, I said, okay, what has brought you here? The man was shocked. Like, we've been talking about all the political parties in Nigeria, and all of a sudden you ask me, why are you here? You should know why I'm here. Then he wanted to start talking because the pastor who brought him said, start talking, say everything now. So before I could say ABC, I told him to stop. I said, you are here because of your business. Your business is failing. He said, yes. I now told him, I said, there is someone in your company that has been planted there by Satan. I said, I'm looking inside your office and I'm seeing three people in your office just before, you know, in the open space, just before you get into your own office. He said, there are four. I said, there are three. You know, there's a level where God speaks to you. You can be arguing with the person you are talking to. I told him, I said, there are three. He now kept quiet. Then he thought about it. He said, you are right. He said, there's a fourth desk there, but the person is not always there. I said, among these three, I said, there's someone there that has been planted by Satan to ensure that that project, that company fails and comes down. He kept quiet. He didn't say anything. I said, the person is a girl. He kept quiet. I said, okay, let me help you. The person has a Muslim name. The man screamed and he started shouting, Bilkisu, 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 Bilkisu. He said, he started screaming in my mind, like, please just calm down. My landlord lives at the next flat. So, he was just screaming. He now said, I've been suspecting that girl. I just burst into laughter. You are not suspecting anything. If you are suspected, you would have fired her. The girl looked so innocent. The girl looked like a child. Innocent looking girl. But she was planted by Satan. And the man recollected that since the lady came in a few months ago, that was when they started having issues. So I'm saying this because the anointing you are living here with, nobody will be able to deceive you by how they look. They may dress and look like a saint. You will see them. No, let them cover their hair. They are not wearing earrings. If they are witches, you will see them. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. And I wish somebody would receive that kind of prophetic blessing, because the things you see on the road are not the way they are. They are not the way they appear. So you need eyes. You need eyes. I was ministering in a meeting, you know, maybe about 500 people. It was a conference. And then the Lord said to me, we need to pray for those who are struggling homosexuals, lesbians. A lot of the people that came out that evening didn't have holes in their ear. They don't wear earrings. Their skirts were very long. I won't mention the name of that place. You know, they are the kind of people you see in church and say, oh, let this one join the ushering team. Let this one be a member of the choir. But they were struggling. So you need eyes that cannot be deceived. Come on, say I receive. You need ears that cannot be confused. You need to be able to see what others are not seeing. Because when the Spirit of God comes upon Saul, he will become another man. Praise God. Whether you're a businessman, or you're a lady, you run an online store, whatever it is, tonight you receive the eyes that cannot be deceived. In the name of Jesus. You need eyes that can see what others cannot see. You need ears that can hear what others cannot hear. If not, you'll be deceived. Like the brother that wanted to get married to somebody who was possessed and brought the girl to church, my former church, brought the girl to church, and even my pastor didn't notice anything. He just said, I should discuss with them so I can join them so that they can get married on time. I didn't even see the girl. I didn't see her before I told my pastor that they can't get married. I have not seen the girl like this. The moment they told me, Ayo wants to get married, I said, no. Ayo doesn't have a wife. They said, no, the girl has come. I said, he cannot marry now. My pastor said, did you notice anything? I said, let them come and see me. You need eyes. You need eyes. Listen to me. What is going on around us? If God opens your eyes to see it, you will never judge people by how they dress or they look again. You look down on somebody, you say, because she's dressing in a particular way, she's a terrible person. Meanwhile, you may not know 5 years from now, your next big move in business or in your career may be in that girl's hands. You have to be careful. Some people, you say, oh, they are bad people. They are going to change tomorrow. And they will remember how you treated them when they were on the other side. You need eyes. You need eyes. You have to see, you need eyes. So that you won't go and jump into the river. And then you'll be pleading for mercy. These are the prayers I pray for myself at night. If anything makes me wake up at night and I plan to pray, I always ask for eyes that see. I ask for eyes that see. You need it for your business. Some of you are not even aware that you have people you are working with in your project teams and all of that who are anti the Holy Ghost that is in you. You don't know. This was what Samuel was trying to do for Saul, that the moment he comes into a prophetic community, his prophetic DNA will be activated. His prophetic genes will be activated, and he will be able to prophesy. To prophesy means he will be able to discern the ears, the voice, and the mind of God, and be able to speak it forth. How would Jesus have known who will betray him? How would Jesus have known? Let me tell you one of the things I do. When I'm trusting God to see what is mysterious to me, I will just be gazing at that thing. I'll be staring at that thing. I won't say a word. I may be observing the person for like a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And the person may not know. I'll just be, looking at that person. And somewhere, because, oh my God, let me give you a key in the prophetic. And I want you to write this thing down. Focus amplifies revelation. Focus amplifies. You'll just be looking at that thing. That person may be in your house. The person may not even know you are observing them. You behave like you are not looking at that direction, but you are observing them. Listen to me. Patience can also amplify the depth of revelation. The moment you just begin to focus. Just focus on that one object. You see, there's a gift or grace that God gave to me, and there's somebody here that the Lord is going to give that gift to. When I look at people's names, I'll start knowing things about them. For instance, that's why when I'm in an online meeting, I always tell people to respond. Because I can't really explain it. But it works in a very strange way. I'm looking at you from afar. I will start knowing things about you. Or I'm seeing your name. I may not know anything. I may not know you in person. But when I see your name, revelation will start coming. And somebody here, you are going to receive that revelation from today. That ability to know things just by looking at their names. You will begin to know things in a very strange way. You will know things. And it will be so powerful and highly accurate. You just look at names and you know where that person is. You've never met the person. You just look at their names. You just see patience and you know this person is in trouble. Don't despise your prophetic community. The moment Saul became king and began to feel like he was a man of himself and stopped calling Samuel's GSM number and stopped coming to get mentorship. The moment Saul became a man of his own, he started failing because the anointing he was prophesying with was not even his own anointing. And that anointing will only remain fresh and strong when it stays connected. The anointing upon your life now is not yours. It belongs to Jesus. And that anointing will only remain fresh when you remain connected to Jesus. Are you blessed today? Hallelujah. Is somebody blessed? Rabba likadoro boshatala da basibiada. Kambra da la soprotoko shatali da basalidia kabarakadia. Rali bakato soprokoto la baradeleke desekedia. Rali basanda balada barakadelia. So there's a lady here, and the Lord said, I should tell you, he said, you are not an orphan. He said, I should tell you, say you are not an orphan, that he has been in your life, guiding you, helping you, even when it seemed as though you had no one. And the Lord said, very soon, he will show his hand in your life, because he will open a door for you, which no man could have opened of their own accord for you. He said, but he will show to you that you are not an orphan very soon. He said, I'm talking about somebody who literally is an orphan. All right? You are an orphan physically, literally. But the Lord said he will show you very soon. The only thing when God begins to move to that particular person I'm talking to, please make sure you share testimony to give God the glory. Don't, when God defends you publicly, your testimony should not be secret. Rali bakasara dele kabia shata. Oh, rabali amasatali keroto kusipalia. As we go, take advantage of this prophetic community. Take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. Later in the life of King Saul, he found himself back in the midst of, you know, the temple, and you know, he started prophesying again. Ah, Pastor, I don't know what happened to my spiritual gift. I don't know. Go and spend time with God. If your gift is supposed to operate on a particular signal length or wavelength, and you are below it, it will look as though the gift is not there. The moment you upgrade your antenna and you're able to trap the signal at that higher frequency, it will start working. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They asked Moses, they said, there's some guy among the population that is prophesying. He's not among those that you separated. And Moses said, I wish that all of God's people will be prophets. And God fulfilled that prayer in Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. When God gave out his spirit upon all flesh, and you must either be a dreamer, visionary, or a prophet, you can prophesy. That is your portion. The Lord is going to execute the Joel 2:28 mandate in your life and in the life of your children. In the name of Jesus, He's going to execute that mandate. In the name of Jesus. There's a particular person here. It seems as if you've been under some form of intense spiritual attack, and you are beginning to wear out. A lot has been going on recently, and you are beginning to wear out. And I'm looking inside your parlor. I'm looking inside your small house. And the Lord says, as a token, you are going to anoint your house tonight. Anoint all the doorposts. Anoint all the windows. And begin to declare the release of a new atmosphere around your home. Listen to me. Because let me tell you something. There's somebody. You have a particular neighbor. Somebody in the same premises where you live that is doing some shady things. They are doing something funny there. And you are feeling the repercussion of their practices, of their ungodly practices in your own corner. So now we want to secure your space. There's something happening in that compound, and now we want to secure that space. So the Lord said, we are going to anoint your house, anoint every room, anoint every doorpost, anoint every window, and seal that premises, seal that property with the power of the Holy Spirit. And then you will start sleeping well. I want you to give God praise right now. I want you to thank Him. I want you to thank Him. I want you to thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Rali kabasara badia la karatosia. Rabali masupran de lika dizia la barakadi le barabal basupran de faati kalukosia. Hallelujah. We give you thanks, O God. Glory be to your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.